as Tim takes the mic and as he shares what you have placed in his heart for us today, God, would you come in? Would you change us? Make us more like you and do your work in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'm good here. Thank you. Have a seat, everybody. I'm still feeling rather boomy, Brother Joe. We're going to get that fixed. How are you doing today? I'm really not yelling at you. It just feels like I am. But we're gonna slowly get that fixed up. Thanksgiving's always a fun time. It's a scary time when the sound is doing weird things, but I believe in you, Joe. I believe it. Yeah, everybody give Joe a hand for figuring this out. So we've been... Okay, here's what we're going to do, Joe. I'm going to do... Oh, we're almost there. If I just keep talking, I could burst out in tongues. We're so close. We're so close. Keep going, right? It feels echoey to me. I'm going to just keep going. You figure it out. We've been watching Barb's home church back in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Anybody been to Moose Jaw? Yeah. I have to be careful. The MP from Moose Jaw has become a good friend, so I don't want to make too much fun of Moose Jaw. But Barb's home church in Moose Jaw, which used to be Moose Jaw Full Gospel Church, right? Moose Jaw Apostolic Church, because Full Gospel wasn't cool enough, right? So Moose Jaw Apostolic Church, now Hillcrest Apostolic, is celebrating their 100th anniversary this weekend. It's pretty awesome. And on the Friday night, we've been watching all of her, like the services, because there's people that we know who are involved and stuff. And on Friday night, her first youth pastor, a guy named Gary Langrid, spoke. And I say, ooh, see, the beauty of the ACOP is everybody knows everybody because they're almost, right, like almost culty. I'm kidding. Everybody, like honestly, I can meet ACOP people and go, where'd you go to camp? And if I know by where they went to camp, what my next question is going to be. So it's just kind of how it goes. But Gary spoke on Friday night. And then last night, her aunt and uncle, Ron and Linda Francis, some of you might, well, Linda Francis, you would know. Linda grew up in this church, and she was Linda Pye then. And so they reminisced sort of some of the old history of the church. And just down the road from the farm where Barb's mom and dad, or where Barb grew up, was an old schoolhouse called Old Guard Schoolhouse. Her farm was on Old Guard Road. And they told this story about the church in Moose Jaw had started, and this lady, just a farmer's wife, is praying for years that God would send someone to hold services in Old Guard School. And let me pull that away. Is that going to make a difference? Oh, yeah, there we go. Suddenly we're awesome, right? Suddenly we're awesome. Thanks, Joe. Sorry about that. Anyway, so she's praying and praying that somebody would come and do meetings in this school, and she finally gets somebody who would come and do that. And then they have these meetings, and she invited every family in the area, because in those days, lots of families lived on farms, because farms were smaller, and so people are coming to these meetings, and a bunch of people committed their lives to Christ, but two people who committed their lives to Christ were two 12-year-olds, Robert Francis and Dorothy Forge, and those two people eventually grew up and became Barb's. Got married and became Barb's grandparents. And so, you know, that would have been like, what, in the 30s, right? And so you have this, like, it's an amazing thing. Sometimes we feel like God's not doing much. And anything he is doing is happening very, very, very slowly. And then you look back over time and you see dots connecting. Robert and Dorothy get married and they have three children. Carol, who's my mother-in-law, Barb's mom, and Ron marries Linda, and Sharon. And out of that family, Ron and Linda have two children who went into ministry. Their son-in-law preached last night, right, at the 100th anniversary of the church that his family was involved in for years. And you know, churches have, I mean, we have these amazing seasons where it just doesn't matter what happens. The church grows, people get saved, people are healed. It's just like you could stand up and sing Jesus Loves Me and people run to the altar, right? And then you have these times where you're just working and working and grinding and grinding, and it's like, is anything happening? And their church went through probably 10 or 15 years of like just chaos. And they wondered if they're going to keep the building, if they're going to be able to make their payments. Interest rates were through the roof. Are we going to make our payments? Are we going to survive? Are we going to survive? And people rallied, right? And her aunt and uncle, Ron and Linda, were part of that rallying and that group of people that said, we're going to be resilient. And we're going to stand together and believe that God is going to do a good thing for us. And, you know, 30 years later, church is thriving, largest church in Moose Jaw, incredible impact in the city, in the region, in the province. It's an amazing thing to see what God has done and what he is doing. And I just believe that that's God's plan for every church everywhere. If we just choose to be resilient, stick together, work hard, keep grinding, trust God for a better day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I was just 19 years old. Don't do the math on that. The numbers are bigger than they ever used to be. But I was 19 years old, and I was interning in Fernie, B.C. with my uncle. And because he was kind of a hero of mine, pastoring in ministry, and I was going into ministry, and I wanted to spend a summer working with him. And it's like, you know, my options were Northwestern Ontario, where the mosquitoes will carry you away, or I could go to Heart of the Rockies, Fernie, B.C. So I went to Fernie, B.C., and I'm there, but I'm working on a framing crew. And then my uncle, in the middle of summer, like, I don't know, nobody does this for good reason, but my uncle just kind of felt like it was the right thing to do. So he calls for a week of prayer in the middle of summer. It's like, oh, people want to go to the lake. People want to go on vacation. People want to, you know, do things other than go to a week of prayer. So every morning, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, or maybe it was even 6:30 to 7:30, whatever, he had this one-hour block. So, I mean, I'm a student pastor. It's like, the last place I want to be caught is at a prayer meeting. Because somebody might actually ask me to pray, and like, what would I say? But I was working, and I had to stop by the church for something. Before I went to the job site, and as I opened the back door, the building was about this size, prayer meeting was in behind the sanctuary, and I heard this big voice. I heard this big voice. Not the voice of God. Not the voice of God. It was the voice of my uncle, but it could have been the voice of God. And he was praying through Psalm 103. And his prayer, as he was praying, he would pace as he would walk back and forth the length of the prayer room. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. And he had it paced out that he could just kind of get to the edge and turn. He knew when he had to turn. He could pray with his eyes closed because he knew, right? I have to open mine, right? He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He ransoms your soul from hell. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. And back to the top we would go. Do it with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He forgives all my sins. And forget, do it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Stick with me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Here we go. He forgives all my sin. He forgives, or he heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, there's an interesting thing. If we can just back that slide up too, Judah, just to back it up twice. One more. I want you to notice something here. I want you to pick up a couple of things as we unpack this very quickly, and then we're going to move into something else. So David opens with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that's within me, bless his holy name." And then he says, "He forgives all your sins." Okay, think about this. David is talking to his soul. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And then he says, "He forgives all your sins." So what's David doing here? Well, I think David's doing two things. I think number one, David is taking charge of his life, right? David's taking charge of his life. So he's saying to his soul, "Soul, this is what you're going to do today. Soul, this is what you're going to do right now. Soul, bless the Lord." And then he says, "He forgives all your sins." He's not owning his sins. It's the soul's sins. He's your sins. He forgives all your sins. And so he's not speaking in the first person, but he's speaking to his soul. And I think the other thing that he's doing, other than taking charge, is he's prophesying to his soul. "Soul, he forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases." Let's just kind of tap the brakes. We're going to walk this through. He forgives all. Like, not just the little things, not just the public things, not the really big things that everybody hears about, and not the secret things that nobody knows about. He forgives all, A-L-L, all my sins, all of them. I just think of every rotten thing I've ever done, every lie I've ever told, every time I've cheated when I should have played straight, every time I meant to do something, every time I said I was going to do something, I never did it, every time I meant well but did evil, he forgives all of those times. Whew. He forgives all of those times. He heals some of my diseases? No, he heals all of my diseases. Every sick thing that comes to my body, he brings healing to that. Everything that seeks to afflict my mind, he brings healing to that. He redeems your life. He redeems your life from the pit. Do you remember the first time you knew he had redeemed your life from the pit? Do you remember the first time that that happened? Wave your hand at me, because I know you do, right? Do you remember maybe the fifth or sixth time, that messy time that you don't want to think of? Remember that time? Do you remember the last time? Because, friends, let's not pretend that he redeemed our life from the pit only once. I mean, he redeemed my life from the pit just last week, right? He redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with loving kindness. The same David that wrote that psalm wrote this. He said, "Thy loving kindness is better than..." Think about that. He crowns you with loving kindness, the kind of loving kindness that's better than life and compassion. Because he's kind and he's merciful and he's gracious. He satisfies your life. You know, the world would tell us that, right, you follow Jesus, you just get the mediocre stuff. If you follow Jesus, you just miss out on all of the fun, right? When we're young, we want to believe that we're so susceptible to believing that lie that if I follow Jesus, look at all the things that I have to give up. No, no, no. What did I hear in that 100-year history that has been rolling out all weekend at Barb's home church? What would I hear if we sat down and talked about the history, right, of City Light? What would we hear? He crowns our lives with good things. With good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So that our youth is renewed like the eagles. I'll come back to my uncle. So I'm standing there and I'm listening to him pray as he's pacing back and forth. "Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. He changed the words. He forgives all my sins. And he heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. And he crowns me with compassion. I want you to stand with me. We're going to do that. I just feel like we could give God this moment and he could just blow up our whole week in a really good way on this Thanksgiving Sunday. I think it's more important for us to enter into Thanksgiving than to be told, be more thankful. See, I believe this, that it's important that we gather together as the people of God. It's important that we gather together. And we gather together, number one, because the Bible says we should. We gather together to worship. We gather together for the sake of community. And I think ultimately we gather together because we want to experience God's power and presence. I mean, if all I do is hear a sermon, it's like yawner, I can watch that online. But if I can come together with the people of God and experience the presence and power of God, chances are my life's changed. Amen? So we're going to do this together, right? We're gonna do the personalized, my line, my slide. So take me back, one more slide. Let's go back again, Judy, if we can. There we go. All right, so I want you to pray with me. We're going to get into it. We're going to pretend there's nobody else here. It's just you alone in a prayer room. Okay, I want you to raise your voice, participate, just press into this. I promise God's going to meet us as we do this today. Here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives, now think about them, my sin. He heals my diseases. Just linger there for a moment. You know what? You might need the Lord to touch you today. You might have a physical thing going on. Friends, this could be your moment. Right? He forgives all my sin. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. Feel the crown. Just recall the crown that he sets on your life. That crown kindness, loving kindness that's better than life, and compassion. He satisfies my desires with good things. God, we thank you today. You don't give us second best. You don't give us the day olds. You don't give us the day olds because your mercy is new every morning. Your mercies are new every morning. We don't have to pick up day olds off the shelf because of your goodness that comes running after us day after day. You chase us down with your goodness, oh God. Thank you for satisfying our lives. We thank you, God, that in this moment you are renewing our strength. You are renewing our bodies. You're renewing our minds. You're renewing our hearts as we calibrate our hearts, our minds to be focused and fixed on you. You're recalibrating. We're thinking differently than we used to. We're living differently than we used to. Good things are happening in our bodies and our minds because we're fixed on your goodness. We're fixed on your faithfulness and out of rich and overflowing and abundant hearts. God, we say thank you. We say thank you. Let's roll with that. We say thank you. Thank you, Lord.
For a heart singing out. don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. So get up and
worship team, thank you. Wow. Friend used to say sometimes all you need is a good gully washer. Just need something to clean the pipes out. Can I preach from down here, Irv? Does that mess all the stuff if I preach from here? Is it okay? If I just keep doing what I'm doing, can I stay here? All right. I don't really promise to be good, but can I have a music stand, please? Thank you. There's no point promising what you can't deliver, right? And so, this much I know is never mess up the order of the song sheets, the chord charts. That just gets you into a lot of trouble. Wow. Well, thanks for coming along on that road. I have to tell you that I've been thinking about this all week. That story I told you about my uncle has been like a touchstone for me. And for like nearly 40 years, in days when I've just felt like I needed to connect with God in a deeper way, I kicked to Psalm 103. And I pray through those verses. And I let the weight of those words touch my life and just press in on me. So, can we go back to the PowerPoint, if that's okay? And I don't want to spend a lot of time. Really, what I wanted was what we've done is really what I wanted to accomplish today. But if we can kick into, I'm looking for the slide that says gratitude in the brain. Gratitude and the brain. There you go. You know, the Bible tells us that we're fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139, and that God knit us together in our mother's womb. And you know, like I grew up kind of in a time where Bible is good, Jesus is good,
science, psychology, bad. Jesus, good. Psychology, bad. Right? I mean, can you believe that, Nate? Like, what a just a terrible waste of a life right there, right? It's like, don't try to understand your brain. Don't try to understand what's going inside of you. Just trust Jesus. And like, it's good to trust Jesus, right? But science is good because more and more science shows us how Jesus made us, right? And so we don't have to be afraid of it. We can just learn more about how we are made. So in 2008, some scientists got together. You know, partly it's the advance of technology and what they were able to do and that kind of a thing. And they did this MRI test, and part of a study. And they put somebody in the MRI machine, and they mapped their brain while they were asking them to think grateful thoughts and say grateful things. And they made some really interesting discoveries. And what they were trying to do was measure the brain's response to people who were thinking and feeling gratitude. So kind of like in this moment, if we all went into a machine and they tested us, we would have the same result as what they discovered back in 2009 because of what we've just done. So in short, they discovered this, that gratitude, that's worship, right, this expression of thanksgiving, that gratitude can boost the neurotransmitters. Some of you don't care about that, but others of you actually understand what that is. Some of you do, yes. They boost the neurotransmitter serotonin, right? Serotonin is a word I've heard before, right? Serotonin to act the brainstem to produce dopamine. And friends, let me tell you, dopamine makes you happy. Dopamine is the wonder drug, right? And the more we think positive and grateful thoughts, the healthier and happier we feel, right? The more I think happy thoughts, right? The more I think happy thoughts, the more I think positive things, the more I'm grateful for what's happening around me, the happier I feel. Now, really seriously, I pastored for a lot of years. I know that church, we could work on this a little bit. We could work on this happy thought thing. How do I build a happy thought? By being thankful and grateful. So, you know, I'll be very honest. I actually approached somebody who I said, listen, because I didn't know that Nate and Del were going to be here today. And so I said, listen, I need some help. Could you give me some insight on the psychological benefits of gratitude? And I was like, well, I really can't help you. I'm not going to be there on Sundays. Like, oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. And I thought that Nate and Del were going to be away. So I was like, I just Googled. Right? I just Googled. And Dr. Google, right? The new word, the buzzword is curate. You hear curate all the time? The buzzword is curate, right? So the other day, we're riding around on the motorcycle. And let me tell you, right? I mean, like, it's difficult for me because I'm riding on the Harley and I'm so thankful, feeling so good, and I want to sing. I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. It's like, well, you can't do that when you're on a motorcycle, right? So I just have to, you know, and I sing loud, and what does it matter? Because it's the voice of many waters, right? Behind me there, rolling thunder. And so, so I Googled this, and I curated five things, right, that gratitude does for you. Gratitude, number one, right, can make you more patient. Nudge the person beside you if you think they need to become more patient. Sandra, I won't actually come over and do it. I'll just give you the jab, right? Right, here's why. It's because gratitude keeps you focused on the bigger things, on the more important things, not on the irritating things, not on the, hey, it's 6:25, we're supposed to be there at 6:30, and it's a 20-minute drive. Not that that would ever happen. That conversation never happens at our house because we're always just grateful, right? Right? But it also helps us develop persistence and resilience. Like, you come back to that Moose Jaw church that, you know, that I was telling you about that, right? Any church, right? We all have messy moments. We all have messy times, right? And it's like, well, if I want to focus on the mess, I'm going to miss out. Ooh, I'm going to miss out on the miracle, right? Come on, somebody, right? Gratitude helps me better focus on long-term goals and dreams. Listen, we're 17 years into our journey with Leading Influence, right? And there were lots of times in that journey where it felt like, gosh, it'd be easier just to pack this in and do something else. And then I remembered how good I was at pastoring, and so I decided to stick with it, hold on to the long-term dream, right? I'm good at faith, I'm good at vision, I'm good at preaching, not so good at, you know, long-term management, people stuff, with church stuff. Somebody always doesn't like the music, and that just always irritates me. So if you're that person, talk to somebody else about that. Such liberty I have here, right? Gratitude also results in better decision-making, right? It results in better decision because I'm thankful for what is, and it gives me a bigger context, so I'm not as impulsive as I would be normally. Number two, gratitude might improve your relationship. Don't look at anybody right now, right? Gratitude might improve your relationship, feeling grateful towards your partner and vice versa. Now, this doesn't happen during the week at our house, but on Saturday and Sunday morning, Barb rolls over and she says, would you like me to make you a coffee? And it's like Saturday and Sunday are the only days that I sleep in. And so she makes me a coffee and she puts some caramel macchiato, right? It used to be a treat, the caramel macchiato thing, right? And now, unfortunately, it's just become my go-to. It's like I just, you know. But there's this kindness thing that she does. And so I'm always very thankful on Saturday and Sundays when I get my coffee in bed. It's like I raise a hallelujah, right? That's what friends do. And, you know, friends are friends forever if the Lord's the Lord of them. Right? But gratitude does this for you, Nate, Del, marriage lessons right here, okay? Being gratitude improves your connectedness. It improves your communication. It enhances the climate of your relationship, right? If your relationship needs a climate change, things are getting a little too hot in the wrong way. If things are getting a little too hot, show a little gratitude, right? And then maybe they get hot in other places, but we'll leave that for later. Your Auntie Cheryl can talk to you about that. Whoa, I'm just out of control today. I should not have had that extra cup of coffee. Right? And people who have relationships with a high level of gratitude report higher levels of satisfaction. So check this next slide. This is very important. Having a partner that's grateful for you or you being grateful for the other can help your love life. I asked Doug if I could do it, and he said, only if you black out my face. It's a beautiful picture of you. You guys agree. Here you go. All right, number three. Number three, gratitude can help you sleep. Those of you that have difficulty sleeping at night, all right, count blessings, not sheep. Count your blessings, not sheep. Review the good parts of your day as you prepare to go to sleep. Feeling thankful helps people sleep better. So, helps you feel better. Okay, now this is a great one for today. This is a great one for today. Gratitude may stop you from overeating. Listen, it's what the Googler said, right? I have no psychology training whatsoever. I don't even pretend to be a psychologist, but, you know, gratitude can help you from overeating because, you know, it's all of our impulse stuff. If you're on your fourth piece of pie later today, here's what you're supposed to do. Take a notepad. I brought one. Whoever you think is the most needy of this, you can get it later, right? Right? You get up, make a note of all of the things that you're thankful for. It'll help you get your impulse under control. And you'll be able to go back and turn down that fifth slice of pie. I don't know who Susan Pierce Thompson is, but this is her stuff, right? So there you go. Number four, gratitude can be a mental health game changer. Okay, this is actually, I did not know this when I put this together, today is actually World Mental Health Day. And, you know, if you're not aware, right, our world is in a global mental health crisis. I mean, people are dealing with all kinds of difficult stuff. And you know, when we say that, as I go, people, we think, well, but nobody here. I promise you there are people here, probably people sitting in your row, who are dealing with mental health challenges right now. Okay, so we're not talking to people who are out there who don't know Jesus. Because, surprise, people who do know Jesus wrestle with their own mental wellness. So here's what my very simple prescription. This is not the only thing that you would need to do. But I promise you this, is that if you amp up your gratitude piece, science shows us that your mental health will improve. Your mental wellness, level of mental wellness will improve. Now, you have to forgive this. This is my very feeble attempt. I use PowerPoint, and I always use the designer option in PowerPoint that takes whatever I've put on the screen and kind of make it look like somewhat acceptable. It even sometimes gives me images to work with and that kind of thing. But take me to the next slide there, Judah. And you're going to see the ugly thing that I did that even Microsoft said, you can't forget it. You're so pathetic that they can't do anything. But here's what happens. When I live a life of gratitude, right, I experience more happiness, well-being, and life satisfaction. As I'm grateful, my happiness, my well-being, my life satisfaction goes up. And you know, as those things rise, anxiety, depression, and anger go out. Like, you know, on the one hand, this is rocket science. And yet on the other hand, apparently it is. Right? Right? As I live a life of gratitude, my happiness, well-being, life satisfaction goes up. Right? Every miserable person that I know isn't thankful for anything. Right? Every happy person, every person who is, their mental wellness is in a good place, they just can't stop talking about all the things that they're thankful for. So I curated, because I'm trendy like that. I reached out to a friend who has a thriving life coach business. I said, hey, have you got a gratitude journal that I could use? And he sends me something, but it's like 50 pages long. And I was like, well, yeah, I'm not printing all of it. Sandra, can you print off 50 of these at 50 pages each? No, because I want her to be my friend. So I took kind of the best of stuff that I could find. There are a stack of these when you stop by to pay your tithe after church to give your offering, right, at that table back there. You can pick up one of these. It's absolutely free with your tax-deductible gift of X, right, whatever that might be, right? But it's just a little, I mean, you can fill this one out, do it one time, call it a day if that's what you want to do. Or you can just, you know, stick this in your Bible or take a picture of it on your phone and come back to it. But it's just a kind of a format for a gratitude journal. So it's called the three things exercise. You familiar with this? You're not. There you go, Nate. You're going to learn something. Well, okay, there you go. Well, the three thing exercise is designed for busy people who don't have time to write down four things. So it goes like this. The three thing exercise is write down three good things that happened to me today. Don't just go, oh, three good things that happened to me today. I got to ride my motorcycle on the street with the falling leaves that made me happy on the inside. Bar brought me coffee. Like, write them down. Three good things that happened to me today. Number two, describe how you felt because they happened. I know that for some of you, it's like, well, now I have to talk about my feelings, right? And some of you of a certain generation, it's like, no, feelings are bad, right? Talk about your feelings. Feel your feelings, right? How did you feel because of those things happened? Well, I felt happy. I felt peaceful. I felt excited that I was going to ride home on those same leaf-strewn streets today, right? And then write down three affirmations. So on the back, there's some sample affirmations. I know some of you are like, oh, affirmations, now this is really getting weird, right? But these are all Bible affirmations. There's nothing weird about this, okay? This is all just speaking the Bible over your life. Barb and I, we had this kind of running little joke, but years ago, there was a guy in the ACOP. His name was Danny Moe. Wave your hand. You know Danny Moe? Okay, do you remember the affirmation song thing that he did? Can you... I don't know the song. I don't know Danny Moe. I just saw the thing on a mirror. I am one of God's dynamic living people. That's all I know. Anyway, it's just Danny Moe was way ahead of his time. It's just affirmations. But give your offering. Stop by the donation station. And you can pick up one of these specially curated sheets just for you. And you can work that later. But I promise you, if you make this a discipline in your life, you will grow in your walk with God. Right? Because you'll be more dialed in to what he's doing in you and around you and through you than you would be if you didn't take time to think about it. And if you need to up your gratitude levels just so that you could, you know, feel, you know, more happy, right? More satisfied and just generally be in a better state of well-being with your life, then if you feel like that's something you want to invest in, here's a real simple exercise. Doesn't cost you anything. You can just grab that on your way out at the table, all right? Number five, because it's 11:40, and I know you're dying to get into that cake or whatever is on the table over there. I love how this church loves to eat. I mean, I've had to amp up my personal exercise levels, but like, wow. Here's a really important thing, right? If we want to think about how our body works and how we respond to things, right? Compliment. Somebody pays you a compliment. Oh, that was a great sermon. Oh, your hair looks nice today. Oh, is that a new dress? Oh, is that a new shirt? No, that looks really nice. Like kind of all of that stuff. Oh, that's a nice motorcycle, right? Like all of that. I mean, no one ever says that to Claudio, but you could tell him I said so, right? But it's like if that's your, you know, like we can live in that place, and it's like we get this like a little sugar fix, right? It's just like, phew. Little dose of sugar. I'll take another candy. I'll eat another chocolate, right? And it's like it's nice to get compliments, and it's nice to experience acts of kindness. But it's all superficial, and it's all just immediate gratification. And what happens is if we live on compliments, or we live for compliments, or we live for people saying nice things to us or about us, we become very, very shallow people. Needy people that nobody wants to be around, right? But if we live lives of gratitude, if we lead a lifestyle of gratitude, it leads to a much more sustainable form of personal happiness, right? Because I'm working the matrix in my favor, and so gratitude is a mindset that transforms our lives. You want to change your life like today, right now? Right? Become a person who practices a life of gratitude. Right? Now that's different than saying be more thankful. Okay? It's different than saying being more thankful. It's adopting this place where it's like everything that comes to me is a blessing from God. Everything that happens to me is an expression of God's goodness towards me. And as we live like that, right? Remembering how right, all the dopamine comes and it makes us feel happy and all that stuff on the inside improves our mental wellness. There's a verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, I have this theory. I'm going to come back to David and I'm going to wrap it up. I have this theory. My theory is that David was probably borderline manic. I know there's a better word for that. But he's kind of borderline because David is generally in one of two places. He's like, ack, my life's going to hell in a handbasket, right? Save me, oh God, the waters have come up to my neck, right? Or he's saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. And it's like, how do you get from there to there? Yeah, it's like swing, swing, swing. Right? And so I think that David had somehow figured some of this stuff out. I really think he did. But he had just kind of figured out. So when he says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, he forgives all your sins, right? He's taking charge of his life. He's taking charge of his life. We don't have to be victims of what happens around us. We have to take charge of our lives. And when we take charge of our lives, we understand that we can dictate what happens. We're not subject to our emotional impulses. We're not subject to, if I did everything that ever came into my brain, like, oh, look out, right? Not everything that comes in my brain is a good thing, right? Not everything that comes into your brain is a good thing, nor is it a God thing, right? We take charge of our lives. We take charge of our lives. When we take charge of our lives, we take charge of our mental wellness. We take charge of our mental wellness in part, right? This isn't the bullet for everything, but in part, you want to improve your mental wellness, change the way you think. How do you change the way you think? By becoming people of gratitude, living a life of gratitude. All right, that was fun. It's 11:45. Let's pray, and we're going to get into that. Whatever. Is that a cake over there? Oh, I raise a hallelujah. Save me a corner piece, please. Jesus, thank you for your love for us. This has just been a pretty awesome day, God. And we're going to say, number one on our gratitude list, a good thing that happened to me today, I went to the house of the Lord. And there I met my friends. There I met my Lord. And there he touched me and changed me for the better. We are so thankful for your faithfulness to us. We ask today you would go with us. You would go before us, and your goodness would continue to run us down all day. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn to your neighbor and say, that was awesome. That was awesome. Peace out, everybody.